Kom ons som vinnig 'n paar hoofpunte op uit die gesprek met professor Tim Noakes wat verlede Woensdag uitgesaai is. Punt nommer 1. Die belangrikste aanduier van jou kans om 'n hartaanval te kry is jou koronêre vat kalsium volume, afgekort CAC volume, as ook jou geoksideerde cholesterol en nie noodwendig jou bloedcholesterol vlakke nie. Dit is wat professor Noakes gesê het. Wel, jou CAC volume kan egter slegs op 'n skandering gemeet word en jou geoksideerde cholesterol word volgens navorsers verhoog deur die volgende faktore: deurdat jy baie suiker en stysel in jou dieet inneem, deur 'n dieet met baie plantolies, veral plantolies wat ryk is aan omega 6 vetsure, 'n dieet met min vitamien B6, dit is folienuur, en ander vitamiene en minerale. Met ander woorde, 'n dieet wat nie voldoende nutriënte bevat nie. Dan punt nommer 2. Volgens professor Noakes toon navorsing dat dit nie so seer die feit is dat cholesterol en plaak in jou bloedvatwand kan vorm wat die grootste gevaar vir 'n hartaanval is nie, maar as die bloedvat dan by die swak plek skeur wat dan tot die vorming van bloedstolsels lei, want dit kan die bloedvat dan afsluit of blokkeer. Die sleutel volgens professor Noakes is die inflammatoriese respons en dit word gedryf deur die hoë kalsiumvlakke in die bloedvate, die hoë omega 6 vetsure, te lae vlakke van omega 3 vetsure. Dit is met ander woorde, as jy te min vis eet wat 'n donker kleur het, soos tuna, makreel, sardientjies en daai tipe vis en neute, en ook te min vitamien B6 en ander nutriënte inneem. Let dan ook net op dat dit baie belangrik is dat jy hierdie nutriënte op 'n natuurlike manier inneem deur voedsame groente te eet en nie deur pille te drink nie. Dan punt nommer 3. Let ook op dat professor Noakes verwys na mense wat tipe 2 diabetes het, insulienweerstandig is en sukkel met oorgewig. En dat hy nie vir diegene sê eet meer vet nie, maar eet minder koolhidrate. Nou, hoe werk dit? As jou dieet tot dusver bestaan het uit 50% koolhidrate, dit is net 'n voorbeeld, 20% proteïene en 30% vet. Met ander woorde, uit 10 punte uit word 5 toegeken vir koolhidrate, 2 vir proteïene en 3 vir vet. En jy verminder nou jou koolhidrate tot 'n vyfde van wat jy voorheen geëet het. Dan bestaan jou dieet nou uit 1 deel koolhidrate, 2 dele proteïene en 3 dele vet, en dit is altesaam 6 dele. Met ander woorde, ongeveer 16% uit koolhidrate, ongeveer 33% uit proteïene en ongeveer 50% uit vet uit. So word dit dan 'n hoë vet dieet sonder dat jy enigsins meer vet ingeneem het. Dit is baie belangrik dat die mense die konsep verstaan dat jy nie noodwendig meer vet eet nie, maar dat jy minder koolhidrate en suikers inneem, en dit is dan veral verfynde suikers. Ek het baie reaksie gekry na verlede week se uitsending en baie dankie daarvoor. Een van die luisteraars het gevra, ons het verduidelik wat presies is koolhidrate. Nou, koolhidrate is suikers en alles kosse wat 'n stysel of meel of suiker bevat. Met ander woorde, dit sal lekker goed wees, dit sal sjokolade wees, dit sal koek wees, muffins, brood, donuts, allerhande lekker gebak, koekies, beskuit, dan pastas, rys, aardappels, patat word gereken as 'n koolhidraat, peulgroente soos droë bone word gereken as halfpad koolhidraat. Wat dit so belangrik maak vir diabetes is dat slegs wanneer jy koolhidrate ingeneem word, moet jou insulienvlakke verhoog om hierdie koolhidrate wat uit jou spysverteringskanaal in jou bloed opgeneem word, weer in die selle in te jaag. Want dit moet daar in die selle gaan energie verskaf. Maar iemand wat diabetes het of insulienweerstandig is, se insulien werk nie meer so goed nie. Met ander woorde, jy wil eintlik die hele proses waar daar insulien benodig word, eintlik omlei of sy stap. En die enigste manier om dit te sy stap is om die inname van koolhidrate en dit is nou die suikerstuisels en al die ander lekker gebak te vermy. Dit is die hele beginsel waarop professor Noakes sy eetplan gebaseer is. Maar kom ons luister nou verder na professor Noakes, want hy kan toch baie onderhoudend en passievol oor hierdie onderwerp gesels. Professor Noakes, vertel vir ons wat eet jy op 'n typiese dag? Kan jy dit vir ons beskryf?
Well, I start every day with eggs because eggs are the most nutritious food you can have. They provide all the amino acids you want and they also provide the fats, some of the fats that you need. And so I will have them and then I'll have other fatty foods as well and protein foods, which will change from day to day, maybe bacon, maybe sausages or pasteurized. All these must come from pasteurized animals. And I might have some yogurt and cheese and butter. So it's all high fat. And why is that? Because that will keep me satiated till at least 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I will not think about food from 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I'll go to work not worrying about whether there's food available or not. And by 4 o'clock, I might well be feeling a little bit peckish. So then I would have some macadamia nuts, some biltong, again grass-fed if I can find it, with nice yellow fat, not white fat, must be yellow fat. And cheese, that would be the snacks. And then in the evening, I will have maybe fish or chicken or lamb. Lamb's my favorite because I think that's the healthiest meat that you can have. And if you can get pork that is also properly raised, I think humans have, at least where I come from, because I'm from England, I think pork was also a very important part of our diets. And then lots of vegetables. And that's it. So I don't eat any sweets. I don't drink any cool drinks. I haven't had a sweet or a cool drink for 3.5 years. I don't eat any desserts. I don't eat anything that is sweet. And I might finish up once a week with berries, either strawberries that are a bit sweet, but blueberries or blackberries, and full cream yogurt or full cream. And that's it. It sounds very simplistic and restrictive, but it works for me. And I have type 2 diabetes, and that's what you have to eat if you've got type 2 diabetes, because you don't have to develop any complications of diabetes if you stick to that type of diet. As soon as you incorporate carbohydrates into your diet as a diabetic, then you're at real risk of developing complications in the long term.
En as mens nou nie diabetes nie, kan mens dan wel koolhidrate eet?
I think you have to be cautious on which carbohydrates you eat, because I think that it's a total carbohydrate load that you eat in your life that determines your outcome. So if you're completely non-insulin resistant and you have no family history of heart disease or diabetes particularly, and your family's always been lean and they've lived to 100 years, then you know you can eat what you like probably. But when you go and look at the centenarians in South Africa, go and find what they eat. They eat lots of eggs and lots of fat and lots of protein, because that's the way we used to eat before we changed. So if you are completely insulin sensitive, I will not advise you what to eat. You can make your choices. But if with age you find that you're putting on weight, you're finding it difficult to control weight as I did, even though I was running all this time, and I was always hungry and food controlled my life. That was it. You're always worried where you're going to eat next, and then you'd become ravenously hungry, and I would binge eat and I would eat lots of sugar. And that's the type of person who's insulin resistant, and they really benefit by cutting the carbs way down. If you don't have any of those symptoms, you have a fantastic relationship with food, and you can eat once every 8 hours or 6 hours, and you don't have to snack all the time between, then you know you're probably eating the right carbohydrates for yourself. But I just don't see that. I see children and adults eating high cereal grain breakfast, and 3 hours later they're ravished and they're looking for foods, and 3 hours later they're eating again. And what are the foods they eat? They eat high carbohydrate, high sugar, processed foods, which are full of stuff that we don't even know what it's doing to our bodies, and it's not going to be healthy in the long term.
En wat van vrugte? Waar pas vrugte in hierdie prentjie in?
You have to see fruit as a treat, because fruit has been designed now to be very sweet, and it's like eating sweets, so you restrict it, just like you don't give your children sweets all the time, you don't give them fruit all the time. The best fruits are berries, because they're full of nutrients and low in carbohydrate. But most fruits today, unfortunately, have got nutrients in them. They are healthy from that point of view, but they've just got too much carbohydrate and they're too sweet. And so that you keep eating them and you also want to search for other sweet foods. And if you have a medical problem, which is dietary related, unfortunately, you have to get rid of the sweetness. You have to go and start eating foods that do not taste sweet. And you can teach yourself, and I certainly taught myself. I do not miss sweets at all. The sweet taste is completely gone from my brain. It doesn't know what sweet is. If it tastes something sweet, I spit it out now. That's what you have to get if you've got a medical condition.
Professor Noakes het nou uiteengesit wat jy elke dag eet. Maar dit is duidelik dat jy eintlik baie min eet en dat jou kilojoule-inname per dag eintlik baie laag is. Sou jy nie in elk geval gewig verloor het as jy so min kilojoules inneem, maak nie saak of dit koolhidrate of vet bevat nie.
Absolutely correct. But remember, there was a time in my life when I was running up to 200 kilometers a week and I couldn't control my weight. My weight today is the same as it was when I was running 200 kilometers a week, eating 500 grams of carbohydrate per day. Now I eat 25 grams of carbohydrate a day. My weight's the same, and I run 30 or 40 kilometers a week. So I've cut my training to a quarter, and I'm the same weight. And the reason is I'm not overeating carbohydrates, which were making me perpetually hungry. And when I went out and ran, all I did was my body was trying to get rid of the excess carbohydrate. If I'd been running 200 kilometers a week and eating 25 grams of carbohydrate a day, I would have been 5 kilograms lighter and substantially faster as a consequence. But I didn't know that at the time. So the beauty is once you get to where I am with 25 grams a day, and remember I'm insulin resistant, I can control my weight absolutely without running one step and not counting one calorie, because my brain now is working the way it should. It calculates every day how many calories I need, and it says, Tim, this is what you need to eat today. So when I eat for breakfast, it will sum up the calories and say, that's fine. You're going to need to eat to diet, and that's what you're going to need to eat. And when I've eaten, it'll say, that's fine. No more hunger. Stop eating. And so now my brain's absolutely attuned to how many calories I need. And I'm now eating the calories I need. I'm not eating excess. My weight has been stable absolutely for the last year. It doesn't move a gram or two either way. So now my brain is doing what it's meant to do. But if I was to introduce just another 25 grams of carbohydrate a day, I would start putting on weight. And that's the reality of all the people we treat with who have got a weight problem. The cut point is so defined that 25 grams on the wrong side, in other words, one apple a day extra, you're in trouble. What I see people told, you must eat a balanced diet, you see. So you must eat your two or three fruits a day. So you must eat your two apples. Well, two apples is 50 grams of carbohydrate. You can't lose weight for most of us. We can't stay stable on 50 grams a day. And we can't stabilize our diabetes. And so that's my complaint, that people don't understand that the cutoff is extreme. And before I started, I didn't realize it. I probably started when I started this diet, probably eating 100 grams of carbohydrate. I lost a lot of weight. But as I reduced further and further, I lost more weight. So until you reach your cut point for how many carbohydrates you need to eat. My point of view is that obesity is a simple problem. It's not complex. It's if you've got insulin resistance, you've got to find the amount of carbohydrates you can eat each day. And we live in a society where carbohydrate is the dominant food. And it's very difficult for the average person to cut their carbs below 200 grams. And so even the free-living person who thinks they're really doing well are still on 200 grams of carbohydrate a day. And that's not going to work. For those people like myself who've got profound insulin resistance, at 200 grams a day, you will be fat. But at 50 grams or 25 grams, you can get back to what you were as a schoolboy or schoolgirl. And that's what we should all be at. There's absolutely no reason why we can't be within a kilogram of two of the weight we were as schoolboys or schoolgirls. You know, one of the great stories I tell against myself is Bruce Fordyce. And because in the 1970s, Bruce came to me and he said, you know, gee, Tim, how are we going to win the Comrades Marathon? I said, Bruce, you got to load up on carbs, you see. And so then he won the Comrades and we gave him more and more and more carbs. And we developed these goos, which are now become pandemic around the world, where you take these little packets of sugar with you and you eat them on the comrades. And Bruce even finished one comrades with a pouch of them around his stomach. And so he continued to eat this high carbohydrate diet, and he put on weight like I did and like many do. He ran 200 marathons and he couldn't control his weight. Now, no one in South Africa has run as many miles as Bruce Ford has, yet he put on 14 kilograms. He changed his diet. Within a few months, he lost the 14 kilograms, and his running came back to where it had been 20 years before. And he said to me recently, he ran the Two Oceans Marathon drinking water, no breakfast, nothing during the race. So he ran the 56 kilometers without eating anything. And afterwards, he came up to me and said, "Tim, I wonder what would have happened if I'd followed this diet when I was winning the comrades." And his implication was that he would have done even better. And he was the best we had. And he is insulin resistant like myself. And his carbohydrates actually terminated his career. He probably could have won more than 9 races if he'd been on this high-fat diet then.
Is it nie moeilik om jou dag met vetterige kos te begin nie?
You know, I suspect that it's not difficult for me because this is what I was brought up on. My parents came from the north of England, and I used to get offal for breakfast as well. In other words, we would get kidneys, liver, and brains. So not only would we have eggs, and we didn't eat all that much bacon and sausages, we always had something else, liver or kidneys or brains. So I was raised that way. And I can remember now, the first time I ever went overseas, we flew on the aeroplane, and then for breakfast, they gave us these terrible croissants. And I asked my father, "But what's this food?" Because I'd never seen it before. I said, "But how can you have that for breakfast?" And I didn't understand, you know, that this was the French way. I can still remember that. So I was raised on this diet. And then unfortunately, along came 1977, and I was working. And in fact, I was one of the founders of the Heart Foundation of South Africa, one of the three doctors. It was called the Cape Heart Foundation then. And so in 1977, the Heart Foundation of America says, "You all got to go and eat carbohydrates." So I was the first in the country saying, "Guys, we've got to change." And I was the first to change. And I changed to these high carbohydrate breakfasts, the cereals and grains, and immediately put on weight. And I had to run more and more and more to try and control my weight. And I thought I was just aging. And my running got worse. It's amazing how much worse it got. That if I could have gone back to where I was on eating the high-fat diet as I was. But, you know, what did we know? This is what the Americans told us. And so that's what we did. So I think for me it's been bliss because I've gone back to what I was trained to do.
As iemand wat vandag luister en hy of sy is oorgewig en sukkel al lank om die oorige 10 tot 20 kilogram af te skud, of die luisteraar het wel tipe 2 diabetes, of is insulien weerstandig, wat is jou boodskap aan hierdie luisteraar?
Well, I think what people have to ask is, if I'm in this state and I've been eating this particular way, isn't it possible that the way I've been eating has caused the problem? And I always challenge the doctors who challenge me. I say, "But when you had your last heart attack patient, did you ask them what they were eating? Were they eating the so-called Tim Noakes or Banting diet? Were they eating eggs for breakfast and avoiding all carbohydrates and avoiding all sugar?" And the light bulb goes on and they say, no, actually, they have cereals and grains for breakfast and they eat muffins at tea time. And then they have pasta and rice for lunch. And then they go home and they have more pasta and rice. I said, "Well, actually, that's not a high-fat diet. They're eating a high-carbohydrate diet. Don't you think the high-carbohydrate diet could be causing their heart disease?" And then they suddenly begin to realize. So my message is, as it was for me, I was eating precisely what the South African Heart Foundation told me to eat. I was eating cereals and grains and pasta and rice and pizzas and so on, all the stuff I'm told to eat, potatoes and low fat. And I used to go through a day and I'd say, "Gee, I didn't have any fat today. What's amazing." And so if you're eating like that and you have a medical problem, you know, just ask the question, maybe what I'm eating is wrong. And do what I did. I just did the polar opposite. I've got diabetes. I could get any complications of the disease tomorrow. But I think one of the local reporters who's very well known, and he lost 20 kilograms and he said it completely changed his life. He said, "How can this diet that makes me feel so good be bad for me?" And he said, I would rather live another 15 years feeling like this than 25 years feeling the way I used to. And that's the reality. It's just, you feel so good on this diet. That's the ultimate test of whether you should be doing it or not.
Baie dankie aan professor Tim Noakes. Dit was nou 'n ware mondvol verlede week se gesprek en hierdie week se. Nou wat maak mens met al hierdie nuwe inligting? Moet jy nou alles oorboord gooi en jou hele lewe verander? Wel, ek kan my raad aan julle opdeel in 4 verskillende groepe. Die eerste groep is die mense wat nie oorgewig is nie en wat nie gewigsprobleme het nie. Daar is geen rede vir julle, soos wat professor Noakes sê, om enige iets te verander nie. Dit is duidelik dat julle dan met ander woorde wel reg eet, reg oefen en dinge reg doen. Wat jy nou eet en wat jy doen, werk vir jou. Dit maak glad nie sin vir jou om enige iets te verander nie. As jy energiek voel en jy het jou ideale gewig, doen so voort, want dit is duidelik dat jy dinge reg doen. Dan vir die tweede groep wat definitief type 2 diabetes het. Die groot probleem met type 2 diabetes is soos wat hy ook gesê het, die insulien wat afgeskuif word, kan nie heeltemal hulle werk doen nie, soos ook by mense wat insulienweerstandig is. As jy weet dat jy type 2 diabetes het, is dit dalk 'n goeie plan om te kyk of hierdie eetplan nie dalk vir jou kan help nie, omdat dit tot 'n groot mate die hele probleem dat insulien afgeskuif moet word, omseil. Ek dink nie dit kan veel skade doen as iemand wat definitief type 2 diabetes het, hierdie eetplan volg en kyk hoe dit met hom gaan nie. Dan vir mense wat lankal sukkel met gewigsverlies. Hulle is oorgewig, hulle is 10 tot 20 kg oorgewig en sukkel al baie lankal met gewig. Dit is moontlik of waarskynlik dat diegene wel insulienweerstandig is. As jy kan sien vir die eetplan, volg dit. Maar dit is baie, baie belangrik om 'n groot verskeidenheid groente te eet, om seker te maak dat jy al die nutriënte inkry, om goeie gehalte proteïene in te neem en om nie so seer meer vet te eet nie, maar om jou koolhidrate te beperk. En ek sou sê, die eerste stap is wat almal wat oorgewig is kan doen, en dit is om daardie soetgoed, die koekies, die sjokolade, die lekkers, die ekstra versnaperings te probeer beperk tot 1 lekker versnapering, 1 porsie per week. En dit kan al klaar 'n baie, baie groot verskil maak. En dan die ander baie belangrike punt is vir die vierde groep, is die mense wat op statiene is. Moenie jou medikasie los nie. Dit is dalk raadsaam om selfs voordat jy op hierdie eetplan gaan, jou cholesterol te laat toets, jou veral jou HDL en jou LDL cholesterol, en na 3 maande of 6 maande op die eetplan, dit weer te laat toets. Want, soos professor Noakes gesê het, sommige mense se cholesterol kan verlaag, sommige mense se kan die selle bly, en sommige kan verhoog. En ons wil ook daarom nou nie hê, mense moet met 'n hoë cholesterol sit nie. Al sê hy dat cholesterol nie die belangrikste faktor is in hartaanvalle nie. As die cholesterolplaak in die eerste plek nie in die bloedvatwand vorm nie, sal die ander faktore nie eintlik 'n rol kan speel om daai bloedvatwand waar daai plaak gevorm het, te skeur sodat daar allerlei ander reaksies volg wat dan tot 'n hartaanval kan lei nie. Ek hoop dit maak sin en ek hoop dit help julle om besluite te neem. Want dit is interessante tye en ons moet oor hierdie goed debatteer en gesels. Ek stem daarmee 100% met professor Noakes saam. Ons sal nie vooruit kan gaan in wetenskap en nuwe dinge kan uitvind as ons nie goed wat reeds bestaan het bevraagteken en van vooraf ontleed nie. Tot volgende week dan, wanneer ons gesels oor osteoporose middels en ook oor sistiese fibrose. Mooi loop, tot volgende week dan. Totsiens.